Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, my dear brethren. God bless you all, and we thank the Lord for his faithfulness in our lives yesterday, today, and forever and ever. Amen and amen. Colossians 2 verse 2 is teaching all of us about the hearts must be comforted to the point where it can be knitted together like a fine linen. Hearts of people, hearts of brethren, brothers and sisters, hearts of the vessels of God in the congregation must be knitted together in love as if it is one single heart. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, for the assurance of understanding to take place out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and to the acknowledgement, that is the declaration, professing the truth, proclamation of the mystery of God, of the Father and of Christ. In the beginning, there was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation of who we are in Him, revelation of who He is to us, the Creator, and the complete manifestation of God's Word. So, by God's grace, we will continue the third part of the series on the topic Onefold. And here, we are starting with the verse, hearts knitted together. Amen. So, last 2 days, we received the blessed assurance from the scripture that you and me, all of us, all the ministries, all the congregation, all the true worshippers, the bride of Christ, the Bible speaks to us that we are all planted together in the likeness of his death, in the same manner, in the likeness of his resurrection, we shall also be. And the Lord has called all of us to his marvelous light, that we will all be striving together, working together, suffering together, rejoicing together, singing together, dancing together, serving the Lord together, everything in unity, together as one single bride, for the faith of the gospel that has been presented to us. Amen. So, planted together, striving together, for the faith of the gospel that has been given to all of us. So, this is what we focused last 2 days. But in between, I have been keep on presenting this verse, which is quite contradictory concerning the promise about onefold, which is the sayings of Jesus Christ caused a division among the Jews, number one. Jesus Christ himself caused a division among the people, number two. John 10 and John 7. Now, this is not in a bad way, as the flesh would deceive us to think that way. No, but God is good. The Lord wants all of us to receive his desire that he don't want anyone to perish. Amen. Now, yesterday I mentioned about a testimony that my uncle, my father's elder brother, he died in 2002 and he was buried in a burial ground, a cemetery or graveyard as we call it. I was studying higher secondary school that time and I was there to comfort my elder cousin brother. You might have noticed that I was keep on calling him my elder brother, because in my culture, we don't have any words like cousin, equivalent of cousin. We treat them as our own brothers and sisters. So I always call you my elder brother, but I am the firstborn in my family. And he is the son of my father's elder brother, my uncle's son. So when my uncle died in 2002, we were standing and we buried him in the burial ground. And 2025, about 22, 23 years later, I was standing and I buried my brother alongside with his father in the same burial ground, in the same place, one after another. So why I brought this into the topic of onefold is, when I looked around, that cemetery, that graveyard, added more dead bodies to that ground in the past 22 years of, you know, time. And let's bring grace as time in our spiritual life. And the Lord also has called all of us to be crucified with him in that burial place for us to be resurrected to be with him in his blessed rest. So when I was standing in the graveyard, many people, hundreds of people came to mourn for the loss of our loved one. And I looked at every single tomb, you know, that I could see that many new tombs have been added in the last 22 years. But what was surprising to me was there was a gate as a main entrance to that graveyard. And those who entered, they went out. But those who entered as the dead bodies were buried. In other words, those who entered alive, they went alive. Those who entered dead, they were buried there. So the graveyard is for people who are dead and the bodies to be buried under the dust. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. Amen. Now, what was that one common thing among all the people, those who were buried there, was not the gender, was not the age group, was not the reason of their sickness, was not the time of the death. No, there was one thing that united them together was they were all dead. In death, they were all united as people of the flesh or the body on the graveyard. So death was the common fold, you know, for those bodies and tombs and the ground that they all shared together, death. But the Lord has given us the life as our common bridge that unites all of us, the blood of Christ, that we are all alive in him. Now, what was pricking my heart when I was standing on that burial ground was, when the Lord called all of us to his marvelous light, we go in fellowship, we go to church, we go to serve him in whatever the Lord wants us to do, there is a choice of you to tell A or nay. Sometimes we change our priorities to something that is worldly and we say, no, I'm not going to the gathering today. Or no, I'm forsaking this one because I have something to do better. No, I'm going to deal with this matter. I will do it tomorrow. So we think we have complete control in the grace that has been given to us and we are trying to manipulate it and underestimate it or exaggerate it. We do both extremes. We think in both extremes sometimes. So when we do so, we believe that we have the control over this particular meeting, particular gathering, particular, you know, service to God. So we decide whether we enter the entrance, whether we enter through the entrance or exit, you know, through the same entrance. But when I look at the graveyard, I was looking at all the tombs and I was blessed in my heart. None of the people had control over their acknowledgement to be buried here. Whether they like it or not, the time they could not choose. They were all dead in different times and they had to be buried in this burial ground. So the gathering of these bodies in that burial ground was inevitable. The choice was not given to those who were dead. So that is why grace is so important in our life, where the Lord is looking at us and he wants all of us to live, not to perish, to make the right decision that is pleasing to his spirit. Amen. Because after we die, We cannot make peace with those whom you want to make peace. You cannot say, I love you after you die, because you lose all your senses, all your control of your soul. So remember the Creator before the silver cord is broken. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that folding, which is a purpose of bending something to create a line, a demarcation. So the fold, I can fold a paper or a piece of cloth, or in the perspective of shepherd and sheep, fold means a pen, a place where the sheep gather for pasture and the Lord manage them within a territory, and it can be called as fold. And now this is a different meaning than folding a shirt, but rather it all points to the same thing. The purpose of the Lord is drawing the line, like don't go above this line. You can go up to this particular territory, but do not go beyond the territory. And that territory, my dear brethren, is always the word of God for us. Amen. Like how God showed Moses the territory of Israel from the Mount Nebo, Moses had to draw the map of how Israel shall be before he gave it to Joshua. The word of God is telling us the right and left extreme of the narrow path, that we should not go beyond this. We should be within. And that within is the fold of Christ, that one fold of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now, where the Lord is causing the division, this is where the Lord himself draws the line. Amen. Remember, I said there was a division because of what Jesus said. That is one. There was a division because of Jesus Christ himself. Now the answer is very beautiful, because he is the way. Jesus Christ is the way. So he will have to cause a division to show the narrow path only to those who is holding the lamp of his word, led by the Holy Ghost. Do not turn to the right, not to the left. So he draws the line of the way of being himself. He draws the line of his fold by the scripture, by the word of God. So, as I mentioned, how my uncle and cousin brother were buried together, the Bible called all of us, the family of God, to be crucified with him, that our old man must die, which is the body of sin must be destroyed, that we will remain alive in Christ. Amen. So, if the worldly death can unite the worldly bodies of flesh that will be destroyed by the dust, the heavenly kingdom of God must unite by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that we will rule and live and sing and dance with him forever and ever in his kingdom. Amen. That fold. Now what happens, the division is, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 verse 51 brings the warning of how Jesus Christ is performing his work. He says, Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This verse may be misunderstood as a punishment or as a consequence of doing something wrong, as if the Lord himself is bringing divination. No, the spirit of truth is a spirit of unity. We put on charity as the bond of perfectness. Amen. What the Lord is telling all of us is, there is no agape outside him. There is no unity outside him. There is no peace other than the Prince of Peace. And the Lord says, I give myself. Those who receive it, they are in me. Those who refuse and rebel and go against everything without repentance, there will be a division which is inevitable by the double-edged sword itself. So he says he did not come to give peace on earth because the earth of flesh will be destroyed and regenerated for the new earth, new heaven. He is the Prince of Peace, and he says he wants to dwell in us. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Apostle Paul, he is continuing from what Jesus said in Luke 12. Remember these two chapters, Luke 12 and Romans 16. Apostle Paul says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." What is the doctrine? Knowing Jesus Christ is the doctrine of salvation, is the truth, is the time of refreshing that we all received. Amen. And the apostle is warning us, mark them which cause divisions. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the wickedness of the high places, you know, the darkness and the lack of understanding. That is the battle of righteousness. And Apostle Paul says, be discernful and learn where Jesus stands. Be discernful and sing and dance and serve the Lord on the land where Jesus stands. We have to have that onefold unity of where the Lord is setting his eyes. Now, verse 18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, Colossians 2 verse 2 and Romans 16 verse 18 is hitting the bullseye of hearts, which are called to be knitted together, but there are some come with a scissor and a small knife to cut that joint, the point of interconnection between hearts of brethren. And what they do, they serve their own belly. Remember the word belly? John chapter 10 and chapter 7, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he talks about himself saying, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. Amen. But here, out of their own belly shall flow the rivers of water of death, that is division. Because living water, it always unites. The river flows from ocean and it returns to the ocean. Amen. That is why it is called river. It is always running, always working, always striving, because it knows it will go back to the place from where it came. If it stops in between, it is not a river. It becomes a lake or a pond, then it will be contaminated, polluted. Amen. River is a sign of life, like how the blood flows in our body. Now, our Lord and Savior, he has given us the beautiful understanding of why he says he came to divide. Because the wheat and tares must be divided, because he is righteous. Amen. He is righteous. So concerning hearts knitted together, brethren striving together, brethren planted together, ministries planted together, it's all pointing to one fold and give it back to that one shepherd, our groom and our master, Jesus Christ. I want to present a beautiful difference of what happened in the time of Jesus Christ. When he spoke, people were confused, confounded, they were divided because he was pricking their hearts so that, you know, they will be uncovered to their flesh, and they got very angry to the point whereby they were so jealous of Jesus Christ and they killed him. So John 10, 19 and John 7, 43 talks about Jesus Christ being the decisive factor for division. But look at what happened after the Comforter is given. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts 4, 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." This verse is so comforting to my heart and encouraging to all of us, because it is very rare to see a verse that talks about one heart and one soul. We could see so many verses in the scripture that talks about one heart, one mind, one spirit, one accord. We can see this in so many places in the New Testament. But if you look at this verse, 4:32, "And the multitude of them," Acts, book of Acts, "that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. Common. All the same. They were all speaking the same, seeing the same, sharing the same, serving the same, everything same, because we have been planted together in the same death, and there shall be, we will be in the same resurrection. Amen. The crown of glory will be presented to all of us the same. But the difference is, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ told the three witnesses, Peter, James, John, his disciples, his friends, he was being a friend to them and told them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." He invited them to pray with him, to pray for him. He said, "Can you watch and pray?" It was an invitation for them to become one fold. It to be of one mind, one accord, one heart and one soul. Because the Lord said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." He invited them to be part of that oneness. Can you have the same burden for me? Can you pray? But the three disciples, the three friends, they could not be watchful and they slept because they were in the weakness of their flesh. The power of the Holy Ghost was not given to them yet because the death and resurrection was not done yet at that point of time. We have been planted in the likeness of his death. We have been planted in the same way we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. The Lord showed all of us the flesh is weak. And after the resurrection, he gave the Holy Ghost to them as he promised. And after the Holy Ghost was given to them, they became the mightiest servants of the Lord, the true version of the manifestation of the seed. The apostles, they started serving the Lord with so much desire, hunger, thirst, and sincerity. They were praying together, breaking the bread. There was oneness among them. And that was beautifully demonstrated in Acts 4:32. They were of one heart. Not just them, the multitude that believed them. That was the power of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus spoke, there was a division. When apostles spoke, there was unity. Do you see how beautiful it is? Actually, both are same. The Lord divides us from our flesh. The Lord divides us from our opinion. The Lord divides us from our own strength. The Lord divides us from our own understanding, our own thoughts. He wants us to be united in his will, in his word, in his joy, in his revelation. He do not want us to carry any sandals to his holy presence. Moses was instructed, "Throw the sandal away from my holy ground." That division, the Lord wants us to be divided in a good way, in a beautiful way, that we may remain united in him, because we were never separated. Amen. So apostles spoke, the multitude were of one heart and of one soul. And this is the burden of my heart. The bride must have one heart, one soul. The church must have one heart, one soul. The ministry of Christ must have one heart, one soul. We cannot be differentiated. We cannot be separated. We cannot be divided because of the very same lines of the fold that was made by the mighty hand of Jesus Christ. Those lines are the mark of Christ, just to show the mark that he received on his body of Christ for the salvation of us. By his stripes we are wounded. No, by his stripes we are healed. That is what the Bible says. But let's look deeply. By his stripes we are wounded in our heart. We are pricked in our heart. And I'm a sinner. For my iniquity, my Lord died for me. That wound, that mark of Christ is why we are healed. Receiving the true repentance is why we are healed. That is crucial for us to stay as one fold. Amen. May the Lord bless us as how we are called to be of one heart and of one soul. Where the graveyard is calling all the flesh for a meeting where no one can say no. They cannot delay the meeting. They will go there to be buried. Vapor is our life. Amen. Our life is like a vapor. Book of James reminds us. Let's all remember the precious blood of Christ that is running in our bodies. The Lord has blessed all of us to receive him, the Holy One, the Mighty One. And that onefold is what we are called to be. When the Lord fold his five fingers, there is no division, my brethren. Inside that five finger, the seeds of God are safe and sound. And the Bible says, 1 John, there is no one who can snatch the children of God from the mighty hand of God. Onefold represents the mighty hand of God, in which we are all sealed unto the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless you. I encourage every one of you, have this unquenchable hunger and thirst to be united, to be of one fold, of one mind, one accord, most importantly, one heart and one soul with all your loved ones in Christ. That is very important. There is no compromise. We cannot see this continuing as a, it's okay, it's okay. No, there is no such compromise or complacency or slothfulness in our spiritual life. The Lord has the desire to see all of us to be with Him as one fold. In Jesus Christ's name, we all receive it. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day in Christ. We shall meet again. Amen.